Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
Do not bow up and get pride-filled. That's the spirit of Cain. Humble yourself like David and say, there must be something going on because you care about me enough to tell me the truth. And they that worship must worship in spirit and in lie. No, in spirit and in...
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's continue on with Pastor Rogers in this new Wednesday night sermon series. This is By Faith. This is part two from that series. Let's go into the message today.
I don't have time to go into the length of the fact that there are people walking on this planet right now who have the mark of Cain, sitting in churches, doing all kinds of stuff in the name of religion. Hear what I'm about to tell you. Here's what God says in Genesis 4 and 6. God asked him a question. Now, I hope you understand, when God asks a question, it's not that he doesn't know the answer. He wants you to know the answer. Is anybody getting this here tonight? So this shows you the heart of God of compassion reaching out to Cain even though he brought the wrong offering. He asked Cain this question. Cain, why are you angry? Now, it's at that moment, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, I'm not the smartest tool in the shed. I'll just tell you that straight up. And I might dwell amongst a group of people who may be dull in the shed too. But here's the deal. It's at that moment when God asked you that question in the privacy of your own thoughts and heart. Why are you angry? Or maybe ask a question like this. This will be a little softer for you here. Who is your neighbor? Why are you angry? It's at that moment that God's not looking for an answer. He's looking for a response of humility out of us. Are you with me? He says, why are you angry? Abel's altar speaks to us of repentance. It speaks to us of faith in God. I have faith. Imagine this. Here's Abel offering up this lamb by faith. He wasn't the one walking around in the cool of the day with God. His daddy was. So we're already one generation removed away from that very close presence. They're outside of the garden now. They walk past the garden and see these angels that are guarding there with flaming swords, and they get the story told to them. And the only thing they see is what could have been and the judgment of God. And now, if you don't do this right, God doesn't accept the sacrifice. Now, it's not that he's standing over you with some baseball bat, but the point is, can you see the humility and the maybe even the anxiety of approaching the altar as Abel, not knowing, God, I've watched my daddy. He's told me how to do it. I'm following this in obedience to you, and I'm laying this on the altar waiting for some fire. That's a physical description of what we come in here and do every week. God, you know what's in my heart from this past week, and here I am stepping into this sanctuary to come in here and do what I call worship. And I trust that by faith and trust you at your word, that if I follow the pattern of the Lord, that because of your love and compassion for me and what you did on the cross, as I lift up my hands and say from my lips, Lord, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I repent. I come before you and worship you. What a great God you are. I honor you and adore you and I obey your word. I am trusting that by faith, though I haven't drug an animal into this place and let its blood spill all over the carpet. My sacrifice of praise and the fruit of my lips unto you is enough by faith to get your attention that you would accept me as a flawed human being. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want you to look at this a little deeper here. We're going to close here in just a second. Cain's altar speaks of pride, unbelief, and most of all, self-righteousness. Which always, out of self-righteousness, is the root of comes out of a root of anger and manifests itself that way. When somebody has a self-righteous spirit, whenever you confront them or deal with that, it strikes out in anger. It speaks in anger. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he says, why are you angry? And no answer. And then God comes back and says, why is your countenance fallen? It's not just that you're angry, because, I mean, you might be able to see and say, man, that person looks angry. But when the countenance of their face, can you see this? When the countenance of their face, you know it when you're with your children. You look at your children, everything was going great, and then you walk in there and say, hey, why didn't you clean up this room? See, I like some of y'all's faces right up there right now. I just turn around. Why is your countenance fallen? Why are you angry? He's asking him all these questions, and he's getting no response back. I want you to watch this right here. Anger in one form or another is always coincides and is accompanied by self-righteousness. That is what plagued Cain. Now, ladies and gentlemen, transfer from way back in Genesis to the current time we're in. And the prevailing spirit of self-righteousness, self, it's all about me. And if I bring you something, you better accept it. We don't come with humbleness anymore. Come on now. Humility. We're a people in a society filled with self-righteousness and pride. Now, somebody sitting in the building and says, excuse me. I can tell by the quietness right here that we're touching this. Excuse me, I don't have any pride. Well, the mere fact that you said you don't. Y'all look straight at me. You started looking at the ground. Come on, it'll be all right. I'm going to help you out here in a minute. This is what plagued Cain. And self-righteousness always depends on works to get it across. Instead of simply, I can't believe that that's, oh yeah, yeah, he did it. He did it all. The songwriter wrote it down. Jesus paid it all. So then he flipped around, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it. He just went ahead and washed it. Find it now. That's what he does with our sins. Come on, somebody. God goes even a third step into this and says, hey, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? And then he asks him in verse 7, and I'm going to put it in my little phraseology here. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? Won't I accept you if you do what I tell you to do? If you bring the correct sacrifice, there's a place for you. Okay, so God questions us, and he always reveals what is the real problem. So, what is the real problem? The real problem isn't the offering. It's not the salad. It's Cain's heart. The essence of all sin is a rebellious heart. And I'm going to tell you, you can stand in the sanctuary and lift your hands and sing all the songs, but if your heart is not right before God, none of that is accepted. Here's what he says. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. You know what that scripture means? It means that you should obey the word of God. Somebody said, well, I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to follow the command of the Lord. Then everything else is in vain. Are you with me? Can we go a little deeper here? Thank you for those three. This is so critically important. I want you to understand right now, and I don't have time to bring up all of the passages of Scripture, but this person in the scripture is the type and symbol of the Antichrist. Marked by God. You read Genesis a little bit further down, and the Bible says that God put a mark on him. And some theologians, some Hebrew theologians, believe that it could be an actual X. Now think about this. Because the mark of the beast, many scholars believe it to be not necessarily an X, could be, but actually the sign of the cross. Why is that? Because you're looking at Cain and you're looking at Abel, and watch this. Oh man, this is so good. I hope that you're getting this. This is so critical, because Abel's offering and worship and sacrifice before God was acceptable. It was acceptable, and his religion, if you want to say it like that, slew an animal and took the blood, the very life out of that animal. It's a type and symbol of Christ. But Cain refused to slay a lamb, but turned around within hours and slew his brother in the field. I want you to see this. So man's religion of Cain is the works of my hands, and you accepted. He got angry. The Bible says, I don't have time to go there tonight, the Bible says he turned and went to Nod, N-O-D. He went, the Bible says, two places. This is the first person that turns, and the only person that you read where he went away from the presence of God. And Cain's children are marked to this day, who will be the children of the Antichrist, marked with a physical symbol. Are y'all hearing me? So this is the danger of offering up worship not acceptable to God. But Cain's religion will give you all of the worship you want through works, through the acceptance of, I mean, the climate, right? The LGBT, because we're going to be all inclusive in this, because God loves everybody. Because Cain, who is the Bible called him, a little bit later on, called him the liar. I didn't spell it right. L-I-A-R-E. The liar. So Cain is the absolute father of lies. Who else is Jesus identified as the father of lies? This is the personification of Satan himself. Well, Pastor, I'd never do that. No. Peter manifested this kind of spirit. Allowed that spirit to get on the inside of him. Let me go a little step further here as we conclude this lesson. David, King David, shouting, dancing King David, is said to have gone into the presence of God while Cain went away from the presence of God. Now, was King David perfect? Absolutely not. David is busted by Nathan when he has an adulterous affair and commits murder. And all of this capital punishment that comes upon him through the prophet at that moment. And what does David respond? How does David respond? If you don't get anything out of this lesson tonight, get this. When God or this word or a preacher, teacher, or someone comes along who's got the right spirit and it smites your heart and asks you the question, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? Why are you in this condition? Do not bow up and get pride-filled. That's the spirit of Cain. Humble yourself like David and say, there must be something going on, because you care about me enough to tell me the truth. And they that worship must worship in spirit and in lie. No, in spirit and in.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.
Join us March 15th at 6 p.m. here at Pace Assembly for Prophecy Files with guest Perry Stone. This event is free and open to the public.